Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today. How many of you came ready to receive something and celebrate that Jesus is alive this morning? Amen. How many of you excited that Jesus is alive? Amen. So today I want to preach this message to you. And for those that maybe this is your first week here, we're glad you're here. I promise you where I'm about to go, you will not be lost or left behind. It's going to make sense to you. But we have been in our church. We've been in a series leading us up to Easter called Walking with Jesus, Discovering Jesus in the Wilderness. We've been reflecting on and looking at the humanity of Jesus and how he was fully God and fully man, and how that actually makes the gospel so much better whenever we can understand that Jesus was fully God and fully man. Did you know that Jesus experienced some stuff on this earth? Jesus experienced betrayal just like you've experienced. Jesus experienced death and grief just like you experienced. Jesus experienced temptation just as you have experienced. There are numerous things that we talked through over the last few weeks that Jesus actually came face to face with these things, and then he overcame them, giving us a better word, showing us the way to overcome these things. And so on this Easter Sunday, I want to subtitle this, if you're taking notes today, is this: The Sting is Gone. Somebody say, the sting is gone. I'm not talking about the stink, okay? The sting is gone is what we're going to talk about this morning. And with that, I'm going to give you a really exciting, and this is the 11:30 service. Y'all came, see, y'all were risky. See, and all y'all like, y'all are quiet on me. Y'all were risky coming to the 11:30 because I got more time to preach to you, okay? I got all day, baby. Oh, that was funny. I'm going to honor your time today. But today I want to speak on this idea and this topic of grief. I know we're saying Easter and grief, how does that correlate? How does that make sense? I promise you by the end, it will make sense. And I can also promise you, you hear my voice? Yes, because I've been screaming two services because this is an exciting message. And how can grief be exciting? Let me let you in on it, okay? I want to give you this quote real quickly to start off the sermon. And maybe this is not the most Christianese thing you've ever heard, or maybe the most pastor opening you've ever heard, but I'm going to show you my humanity. I enjoy Marvel series. Anybody, any Marvel people in the room? Okay. And there's this cool series that I watched, and it has this character named Vision in it, and there's this beautiful scene, and I talk about this scene quite often because I think it's one of the most beautiful quotes about grief. And we did check it, and I was wrong in the first two. I'm sorry. It was written wrong. It got copy and pasted wrong. I promise you, I did not misspell it wrong. It got copy and pasted wrong. But what is grief if not love persevering? What is grief if not love persevering? Vision says this in the show, and if that's not Christian enough for you, I'll give you a C.S. Lewis quote to back that up. It says this, C.S. Lewis says this: grief is the price we pay for love. So both these quotes, what they're doing is it is recontextualizing what grief is. It is no longer just the feeling or the separation of loss. It is the act of love rather than just a void left by death or disappointment. Grief comes deeply from a place of love. You don't grieve over things you don't care about, right? Anybody just like, man, tomorrow, if somebody you don't know loses $50, you're not going to grieve over that because you don't even know that person. You don't even know they lost $50. But if you tomorrow lose $5,000, or your brother loses $5,000, that's going to hurt. There's a sting associated with that, right? Because there's a proximity associated with that, because there's a love associated with that. So now there is a hurt or a sting that is with that. So that's what I'm going to show you today, is that grief is what happens when love has been stretched by loss. Grief is the ache of love when something is gone. Grief is the weight love carries when death touched what it treasured. Grief is not weakness, friend. Grief is not failure. Grief is not faithlessness. Grief is actually love that still remains. And every person in this room understands grief to some point. Maybe you haven't lost someone that you loved, but maybe you lost a friendship that you thought was going to be a long-term friendship. Maybe today you lost a season. Maybe you lost time. Maybe for some of you, grief is you've been praying over a prodigal that still hasn't come home. Maybe you have a broken dream or a broken relationship, or maybe yours is a version that you thought you would be of yourself. And this is what makes the gospel so powerful, and what I want to bring to you today is that Jesus does not stand at a distance from grief. He steps right into your grief. This is the gospel. And I'm going to tell you, church, I'm going to need you to speak to me today because this is a preaching message, and I'm about to get loud, and you can be quiet, but I'm telling you, it was not quiet when the grave was empty. There was rejoicing that took place. And this message today is the good news and the gospel of Jesus. I'm not asking for hand claps and shouts, but I am wanting you to pay attention and lean into this word today because I'm telling you, this word has the power to change everything that you're living in right now. Everything that you've thought about the gospel, it has the power to change everything you've even thought about your situation right now. If you actually lean into this word this morning, this is powerful. And I'm telling you, I've already preached this twice. And when we started this series, I knew this is where we were ending. Because I said, this is an Easter, five weeks ago, we're driving in the car. And I told Chelsea, I said, I feel like the Lord is having me, wants to preach this message. And I started tying it together, just talking with her. And then I said, okay, well, now I'm going to go back and I got to figure out how to get there. And I started walking with Jesus in the wilderness myself and reading scripture. And it's led to this point, and it's like something bubbling up within me. So it's just going to bubble up, and we are going to fly with the word, and we're going to receive it this morning. Amen. Anybody ready to receive the word today? Amen. Every person in this room is understanding of grief, though. And today I want you, in this story that we're about to read, connect yourself to it and realize that there is victory in Jesus, even in the midst of hurt, betrayal, pain, anguish, sadness, depression, loss, anxiety. There is victory in Jesus, and there is a way out of it, okay? So hear me. If you're in John 11, we're going to read this today. We're starting 32 and 36 here in just a moment. But I want to give you some context to where we're going. This is an awesome story where we read about how Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. And Mary is there. She's crying. Martha's crying. They're grieving. The people are there. They're grieving. There's a funeral basically going on. And all this happens, and Jesus shows up anyways. Jesus shows up knowing what he's about to do. He knows Lazarus. You really need to grab hold of this today. Hear me today. He already knew he's calling Lazarus out of the tomb. He already knew what was about to take place next. He already knew resurrection was about to take place. He already knew that the story, glory to God. If somebody will get the revelation today that Jesus is already looking at your story right now, and in the midst of your depths of betrayal, and in the midst of the depths of your grief, and in the midst of the depths of your death, Jesus already is looking on the other side saying, it ain't over. I got a better word for them. So hear me today. So then we see this in verse 32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. How many of you ever felt like that before? Jesus, if you just would have showed up when I wanted you to, none of this would have happened. And he said, therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now, scholars have read this two ways, and I believe there's truth on both sides. Two things can be true at the same time. I believe there was an element of like, dude, I already know what I'm going to do. Why are y'all weeping over this? This is troubling. But then there's the other side where his friend is dead. Think about that for a second. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And what I love is the next scripture in verse 35. You'll go there. It says this. Jesus wept. Guess what? In the last 2 weeks, this is the second time we've seen Jesus cry. If Jesus can cry, men, you can too. It's all right. Let a tear out. Jesus wept. Then the Jews say this. The Jewish people say, see how he loved him. Let's talk about this just for a few minutes if we can. And if we can't, I'm talking anyways. So Jesus, here he feels the weight of death. Jesus is not faking an emotion. This is not a performance. Jesus is not a paid actor. He's not one of the paid mourners that are there. He's not putting forth sorrow just for affection or for sympathy or anything like that. Jesus is really weeping. He's really grieving. He's really troubled. He's really groaning. There are real tears coming from the face of Jesus. And remember, this is not because Jesus is helpless. He's not a helpless savior. Jesus already knows what's going to happen. But Jesus still weeps over the situation. He knows that victory's on the other side, but he still weeps in the midst of, hear this, the sting of death. Jesus, in this moment, we do not serve a high priest that cannot sympathize with us in our weaknesses, is what Hebrews says. So hear me. Jesus, in this moment, is sympathizing with the sting of death, and he's grieving over the loss of a friend. So hear me and write this down. Knowing the miracle is coming does not make grief less real. Knowing that there's anxiousness and there's depression and sorrow in the world and brokenness, and knowing that Jesus is the miracle, the redeemer, the deliverer, and one day we'll have eternal life with him, does not mean that grief in this life is less real. What it does mean is we don't mourn as those that have no hope, which we're going to get to in just a minute. That we have a better word. And his name is Jesus. So, he's standing in front right now. So there's multiple reasons why Jesus is weeping. Jesus is weeping, I believe, one, yeah, because he lost a friend. But I also believe Jesus is standing there looking at you. And I believe he's standing there looking at what sin has broken and what sin has brought into the world. Understand this, in the original creation of man, it was never God's intent and design for man to die. Death is an enemy of what the Lord created. So Jesus is standing looking at death and saying, and this, you see, and we, in our Christianese mind, we go, well, death has no sting. Yeah, but at this point in time, Jesus is standing looking at it, feeling the sting. And Jesus is going, my children will not have to go through this same sting that I'm going through all the time. They will not be left. I will not let my kids be left with the sting of death. I'm going to do something about this thing. And Jesus does just that. In other words, Jesus, his feeling of empathy, his feeling of grief led him to a place of action and compassion, which was birthed from a place of love, which redeemed all of mankind so that we can have a way to the Father where there was no way. That's what Jesus did. This is the good news, friend. So he's standing in front of death. He's standing in front of loss. Standing in front of brokenness. And Jesus knew resurrection was coming and still wept in this moment. He even does this himself in the garden. If you go read scripture, we talked some about it a couple weeks ago. Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Weeping and agony, pressure. And what's he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus felt the weight in that moment too. And he says, nevertheless, not my will, let yours be done. So hear me today. Jesus now, he does it himself. So you better understand that knowing the miracle is coming does not make the grief less real, right? And some of us thought that if we really had faith, we wouldn't feel grief like this. Nah, Jesus wept. Some of you thought, man, if you really cared, like Mary did when she threw herself out at the feet of Jesus, if you would have been here, some of us feel like, man, if you would have been here, if you really cared about me, I would have never felt this aching. I would have never felt this way. No? John 11 says something different. It says a better word. So stop condemning yourself for feeling pain over what was lost. Write this down, that pain is not proof you do not trust God. Sometimes pain is proof that love was real, and that love proves Christ's likeness is within you. God is love, right? And if we believe that God is love, and we feel grief over someone who is broken, then that is actually just showing for us that there is somewhere within us. You are made in the image and likeness of the Creator. Therefore, Christ's likeness is within you somewhere. It may be laying dormant right now, but somewhere within you, Christ's likeness is within you. And let those moments be a revelation or a saying of, man, there is a Christ likeness within me that is actually bringing this. And now from this place, I want to bring change in someone's life. Hear me. The grief Jesus felt revealed his love. Notice this, that the people around him say, see how he loved him. When Jesus weeps, they don't say, wow, Jesus was weak. Jesus is a wimp. They don't say, wow, he's very emotionally unstable. What do they say? They equate the tears over Lazarus to how much Jesus loves them. And I believe that today, even in our own life, we can see that, man, whenever you maybe shed a tear over a situation, I believe that can just be evidence that there was love present. And I believe that's a beautiful thing, and it should call you and compel you to action to change things. Amen. Hear me. Grief was not weakness. It was love on display. And sometimes I think that we want a Savior who is strong and untouched. And listen to me. He is the Savior that is strong. Yes, He is almighty. He is the almighty God. And yes, He has already overcome. But hear me. When we see Jesus walking the earth, we see that there was times and seasons where He was touched by things and felt things that we also feel in our own humanity. But He once again gives us the better way out of those things. He doesn't detach to preserve himself. Matter of fact, he loves so deeply that he allows that grief to move through him to a place of compassion. So hear me out. Love is why he wept. Love is why he stayed. Love is why he brought forth resurrection. Love is why he went to the cross. Love is why he went into the tomb. Love is why he went and stole the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And love is why he arose victorious on the third day, giving us access to eternal life. This is the love that Jesus has for you, friend. This is the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus that you need to hear today. And this is where this story turns from Lazarus to us. From Lazarus to his children. Because I don't believe Jesus is only weeping over Lazarus. He's weeping over what death means. He's weeping over what sin unleashed. He's weeping as the one who knows he himself is about to walk into his own death. He's not looking and weeping just over a friend in a grave. Hear me today. I believe that he sees Walt in that tomb. I believe that he sees Mikey in the tomb. I believe he sees Andy and Donna, Pastor Chelsea. I believe he sees me in the tomb. And that is why he weeps, because he sees that there must be a way made for humanity to be reconciled back to the Father. And so now from this place, he weeps over this and says, I've got to do something to destroy the grips of hell, to redeem, to purchase back mankind from hell's grasp and grip. And today is that day. It's the prophetic fulfillment and the pushing forward of what is about to happen. It is not just grief. Grief turns into a holy compassion towards us. And he's refusing to leave humanity under the curse. Jesus isn't just crying over a man. He's confronting an enemy in this moment. Jesus felt the weight of death before he broke the power of death. Now hear me. What he felt moved him towards what he would do. And this is where the gospel, the good news, gets absolutely beautiful. And let me just go ahead and tell you something real quick, friend. Is that if you have ever heard gospel and it has heard sounded like shame, that is not the gospel. You know what the word gospel means? Good news. It does not mean shameful news. It does not mean condemning news. It does not mean depressing news. It is good news, good and only good news. And the good news is you once were in the depths of hell, sin and darkness had you tied down, but Jesus made a way where there was no way. And all you have to do is repent of your sin, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you are saved. You don't have to be saved by the blood of goats and rams and all these things. We're not under the law anymore. Jesus came and redeemed us from the curse, and now we have access to where we can boldly approach the throne room of grace and receive mercy. This is the good news. And if it's not good, then it's not God. And so hear me, even you today, if you're in this room, you saved your whole life, you're like, oh yeah, Pastor, this is a good message. If you're preaching a message that is not good news, stop it. Yeah. Preach the good news. The gospel of Jesus is good news. That doesn't mean that there's never change. That doesn't mean that we're not coming into this, we're not being sanctified. Yes, we're all going through the process of sanctification. I'm still going through the process of sanctification. There's still things I got to change. But the good news is, the good news is he made a way for me to change. I could run around this room just on that one quote. I haven't said that all day. That's just for you guys. The good news is He made a way, not that I could just have access to the Father, but he made a way to which I can change. He exampled a way in what it looks like to change. He exampled a better way that I am to follow every single day. That is good news, friend. Woo, that's good. I preach myself happy if I don't preach anybody else happy today. So, hear me, the cross is not a punishment language. It's not a transaction language. Yes, it's a prophetic language, but it's not just a prophetic language. And I want to say this. It is love responding to what is broken. And it is love responding to purpose. And I want to give you this. If anybody's ever grown up or been in a prophetic church, we're a prophetic church. We believe that Jesus still speaks today. We believe that the Spirit of God still gives utterance to prophesy, to bring life, edification, and comfort, not a crystal ball to prophesy what you want to happen in the world or politics or anything like that. We believe this. Let me let you know something. Lean in. Scripture says this. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort, is what Scripture says. Meaning this, that sounds a lot like something, doesn't it? It sounds like good news. Ooh, I could run around this room right now. It means good news for everyone, not just your side, not just what you want, not just what you want to happen, not what you want to speak into existence. I'm going to come down right here. I'm concerned that we have many people in the prophetic that are more like crystal ball people or even people who want to play with crystals rather than be people who bring life, edification, exhortation, and comfort and actually declare the word of God, the gospel, the good news, because that is what love is, and that is the most prophetic thing that you can do is love your neighbor as yourself. All right. I'm glad for the 17 people who agree with me. Everybody else is like, what are you talking about, prophetic? Come back another week, we'll preach to you on and teach you what it means. But I just taught you what it means. It just means, hey, the testimony of Jesus is what I want to prophesy over you and what God wants to do in your life. Okay? This message is prophetic. The cross is prophetic. It is responding in love to the devastation of sin and death. So hear me. The cross is love responding to what death has done. He didn't just endure the cross. He embraced what the cross would accomplish. Hebrews 12 gives us this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. For the I don't know about you, that is not a joyous looking thing. To go and be murdered in the worst way possible. Agonizing death. Taking lashes, being crowned with a crown of thorns, nailed to a cross, stabbed, punctured in your side. That is not a beautiful death and is not a joy. But Jesus did not view it that way. In the moment where he's standing at Lazarus's tomb, I believe there is a viewpoint that gets shifted. And I believe this is my personal, I'm preaching something, at least the way that I can see and I feel and even want to experience this moment for a second, that I believe it is one of the points that we can see that Jesus is now views the cross as a joy. And now he sees that, listen, whenever I do this, death is swallowed up in victory. When I do this, the sting of death is broken off of my people. When I do this, people are redeemed from the curse. There is a moving towards. So now the cross becomes a joy for Jesus. Now, I'm not saying he just walks there, hey, I'm going to the cross today. No, he still had to bear the weight. But the reason he was able in the garden to go, nevertheless, is because the cross had already become a joy for him. Nevertheless, I'll go to the cross to redeem the children of God from the grasp of hell. This is the good news. So the joy is the joy of sons and daughters coming home. The joy that Jesus saw is sin being broken. The joy that Jesus sees is graves losing finality. The joy of hopeless people having hope restored to them. The joy of sorrow no longer having the last word. The joy of death losing its sting. So yes, he definitely felt the weight. But this is what I love about our Lord and Savior is that the weight did not stop him. It moved him. The weight didn't stop Jesus. It moved him to move towards the cross. And what was ahead of him was terrible, but what was beyond was glorious. And the resurrection now changes and recontextualizes what grief means for all of us. We started at this beginning of love and grief, and now we're seeing even through the story of Jesus that grief is completely recontextualized for us. Let's be clear on this. Before I go any further, the resurrection does not mean grief disappears. The resurrection does not mean loss is not painful. The resurrection does not mean that tears are fake. It does not mean that death doesn't happen. What it means is this: grief no longer has to be hopeless. What it means is this: now we don't mourn as those with no hope. What it means is this is now death does not get the final word. Now sorrow is not eternal, and now the grave is real, but it is no longer ultimate. And I know a lot of times we preach this sermon at a funeral that I'm about to share with you, and then we're going to end. We tend to go to the scripture, and it's a powerful scripture. But I want to preach this on Easter because I believe this is a funeral. I believe it's a funeral for your grief. I believe it's a funeral for your sorrow and your sadness that you've been living in. I believe it can be a funeral today of your sin, your brokenness, your destructive nature, your continuing in sin cycles. Today can be a day that we put those things in the grave and we leave them there and we see Jesus in a new way as he calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I know you may be under my voice today and you're saying, Pastor, I already follow Jesus. That's great. Maybe we're just talking about something else that's going on in your life and there's some things that you need to leave in the grave today. And Jesus has already been telling you, hey, step out of those things because I have a better life for you. You don't have to live there. Listen to me. We don't mourn as those who have no hope is what scripture says. We'll read that in just a second. And what that means is you don't have to stay in the place of hopelessness. If you stay in the place of hopelessness, this is a strong word, but it's a pastoral word for you. Hear me today. If you stay in the depths of hopelessness, you demean what Jesus did on the cross. Because he is our living hope. And to say we have no hope whenever he's already given us all the hope we ever need. And maybe the reason you've been there is, once again, let me go back to the beginning. You viewed everything wrong. You have viewed everything as temporal rather than eternal. Yes, temporal hurts, but there is a day where he wipes every tear from the eye, right? There is a day that we walk with Jesus in the realness, that we worship at the throne room of in the throne. We worship at the throne, sing holy with the angels. There will be a day that we will see those that have went before us face to face once again. I want to read the scripture to you real quickly. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 and 57 says this: when this corruptible is put on incorruption and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? And O Hades, are we going to say it like this? O hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is found in the law. But, I love this word right here. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What am I saying today, church? I'm saying, yes, death happens. Yes, these things took place, but Jesus went. Death still hurts, but why Jesus wept, and this is why you weep, is that the funeral aches and those things took place, and when there's brokenness, it hurts. When there's betrayal, it stinks and it hurts, but because of Jesus, death is no longer victorious. There is a way of eternal life through Jesus, and the sting is gone. And let me just go ahead and go here for a second with you. Let me push back on some possible religious thinking for a second. I'm going to sip my tea like Kermit the Frog before I do it, though. Give me this. I believe that the blood of Jesus is so much greater than anything we've ever thought of before. I can give you one scripture that puts the nail in the coffin on that. Yet, while we were yet, what? Sinners. While we were yet in our depravity, yet while we were yet still atrocious, yet while we were still harming God, Christ died for us. For some in this room, I'm gonna help you for a second. Some in this room, we passed judgment on people that maybe we didn't think were deserving of being in heaven. I understand there's one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. This is the good news for you today, friend. When Jesus hung on that cross, he made the way. Somebody needs to understand this. When Jesus hung on that, I know that we've been taught one way for so long, and it's ingrained within us. But when Jesus hung on this cross, not this one obviously, but on the cross, he made that way available. So the way's already been made. And you're not the one to stand in judgment. You don't judge what only he can judge. And you don't know what happened. You don't know what happened in their life or anything like that. What I do know is this, that the love of Jesus and the blood of Jesus is so much greater than anything I can think. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. And I've got to think, if he turns all things around for the good of those who love him, that the blood of Jesus is far greater than anything I can dare think or imagine up. So that means this, there is a way, so I don't have to mourn as those that have no hope. The hope is that, yes, Jesus is going to find a way, speak to them in some way, and we will see them again. But hear me today, even in the midst of your destruction in these things, there is always a way through the hope of Jesus. This is the good news. The sting is gone. Anybody ever been stung by a bee or a wasp? It hurts, don't it? Pastor Chelsea is blessed out here. She has never been stung. How? Knock on wood somewhere, please, because you never. Bee stings, they got venom. Wasps, they got venom. And it hurts. And if the stinger stays in, it can actually harm you. This is what Jesus did. Jesus was the spiritual credit card that swiped down your arm and took that stinger out. Does this thing happen? Yes. But Jesus says, I'm not going to allow my children to continue to be poisoned by the sting of death any longer. I'll take stripes upon my back. I'll take every sin and every shame. I'll wear it on my shoulder. I'll walk to Golgotha. I'll hang on the cross. I'll go to the grave. And I'll arise victorious on the third day so that my children don't have to. Hallelujah. I'll say it like this. I got three boys. And I don't want my boys to have to go through any of the crap that I did. And as a good father, you shouldn't either. Or a good mother, you shouldn't either. So you know what? In my life, I'm trying to overcome every unhealthy habit that I've ever had and show my kids a better way. What if we read scripture that way just for a minute and we read and said, oh wow, Jesus already confronted these things. Oh wow, Jesus already went through these things. Oh wow, Jesus already found a way where there was no way. Oh wow, Jesus already showed me how to get out of this. Oh wow, Jesus already overcame. That's the gospel, friend. That you don't have to keep going through the same junk over and over because he made a way. He showed you the way, the better way. Out of those things. So Jesus does this. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus did not erase the reality of death in this present age, but it removed its ultimate power over those who belong to him. Pastor Donna, will you come? Truth is this, that death still happens, but it no longer owns the future of the believer. And because Jesus walked out of the tomb, death cannot lock you in forever. Because Jesus walked out, death cannot lock you in forever. I want to pastor you for a moment. And for our church family that have been here with us for a while, I really want to speak to your heart for a second. And this goes for everyone in this room, but for those who know me on a personal level and know Pastor Chelsea and I on a personal level, I want to pastor you for a second. The truth is, you're in this room today, and Easter is a beautiful moment where we get to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Easter can also be a painful moment. That's the truth. Today, you may be in this room and there's reminders of people that you thought would be here with you today. That's real. I feel that. Today, there's reminders of what could have been. Maybe prayers that you hoped had went a different way. That's real. I feel that with you. I'm in that with you today. I empathize with those feelings and those things today. But I also am moved with compassion towards you to speak a better word to you. That you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay in those moments. Easter's not asking you to pretend that everything's okay, that everything's fine. Easter's not telling you this is not gonna hurt. Easter's not just asking you to do better. Easter's not telling you to deny the ashes. Easter's telling you to look at the ashes and know that the Lord can bring beauty from them. The story of Easter is not telling you to stop your mourning. The story of Easter is telling you, hey, mourning doesn't get the last word. The story of Easter is he turns mourning into dancing. He turns our sorrow, our weeping, into joy. That weeping may endure for the night, but joy, the joy of the cross that was set before him, becomes revelation for us in the morning. And there's a better way and a better life out of those things. Because of Jesus, mourning is present, but it is not permanent. This is the gospel. The good news is not that just Jesus understands your pain or just gets you. The good news is that he did something about it. He did something about your pain. Jesus made a way where there was no way. He took sin, he took shame, bore it on the cross. He crushed it. He took the sting of death away from us so that we could have life and life more abundantly. You don't have to wear what you're wearing all the time. You don't have to walk around with shame and sin and condemnation and fear and anxiety and depression. You don't have to walk around with those anymore because Jesus already bore those things on the cross. He has already carried what you are saying is crushing you. I'm going to say this again. He has already carried what you feel is crushing you today. That's our good Father. The cross took the weight and the tomb proved the victory. This is the good news. So maybe today your grief is the grief of death. Maybe today it's the grief of sin. Maybe it's the grief of the life that you thought you'd have. Maybe it's the grief of the addiction you feel that you're in. Maybe it's the grief of betrayal or years wasted. Listen, he can restore to you the years that the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the locust have stolen. That's what scripture talks about. So whatever your grief is, whatever is putting you inside the tomb, hear me today. Jesus is walking up to that tomb today. And he's letting you know, I've already taken all those things on my back to the cross. Don't set up camp in the camp of death, in the camp of darkness, but come out of darkness and into my marvelous light. The tomb was sealed, but the grave was not the end of the story. And the same Jesus that stood at the tomb of Lazarus and wept and then called him out, he would walk out of his own tomb until a little bit later. And when he did, he forever changed what grief and death and loss and sorrow mean for those who belong to him. That's the good news. That's the good news today. So we don't mourn as those that have no hope. That there is a better word. And there's a better name. And his name is Jesus. He's already overcome. The sting of death is no longer, and the grave has no victory. Why? Because Jesus is alive, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, us giving us victory and triumph, and interceding and turning all things around for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. This is the gospel.